Good morning, church. Good morning, PCC, and happy Labor Day. Well, tomorrow when it comes. Tomorrow's Labor Day. And Labor Day is the day we get to celebrate the contributions the American worker or the worker has made to the prosperity of this country. And so it's also a holiday weekend, and I hope you're planning something fun to do, something plan on having some socially distanced fun. Before we go into this week's message, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will just speak through me, Lord, as I speak what you've impressed upon my heart to speak to the people about. Lord, I pray that it will change lives and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're like me or most people in the United States, you probably have at least one social media account. And if you're over 50, you know, that social media account, if you have one, is probably Facebook, right? Because, you know, people like me, that's where we're on, right? We're on Facebook. And if you're maybe under 29, you're probably on like a whole ton of them. You're on Instagram. They call it the gram. It's on the gram. And, you know, it's on Twitter. You're on Snapchat. And, you know, even YouTube is considered like a social media platform. Now, if you're Jamaican, I want to tell you something. If you're Jamaican, WhatsApp is not a social media platform because Jamaicans love WhatsApp, and they'll be on WhatsApp all day long, passing video around. So we're not talking about WhatsApp today. But, you know, regardless of whatever social media platform you're on, also all of them have a common feature. That feature that they have is the follow feature. Or kind of something like it, you know. If it's YouTube, it's like subscribe. But it's really a follow feature. And it usually goes something like this, right? You come across something, or you know, that you're doing some random searches, or something unsolicited comes up in your newsfeed. And again, for those of you not on social media, newsfeed is just like things that just come up without you having to do anything. You go on your social media, it shows up. Or maybe someone forwards you a link. Or they forward you a picture, or they send you a post, or something like that. Or maybe you're in need of something, and you go searching. And then you find someone who has posted something, or they've written something, and it's called a blog. You know, they've written a blog, or you saw a picture. Or maybe you saw a picture of something you wanted, like, you know, oh, this is the house that I want. And you know, or you find a piece of furniture, or you find you saw, you know, a wedding dress, you know, like, this is the wedding dress I want, I'm gonna keep a copy of it. Or maybe it's this really cute guy or this cute girl, or just kind of anything else that you liked. And so what you do, you go out and you click like. And then because you like it, you keep coming back. And you come back and you check the page. You check their page, and because, you know, they put something out there that they liked before, there's probably something that you'll like again. So you come back and check, and if you like something else that they posted, and you keep liking, or you like how they look, after a couple of times, you say, okay, this person is kind of worth my time. And so what you do, you click follow. You click follow, or you click subscribe. And sometimes it may go something, you know, different than that. You know, how you end up following somebody is that somebody you know sends you an invitation to follow. And then you kind of go through the same process, you know, you check it out, you click it, you click follow. And this is why most of you are watching today, is that most of you have a social media account or somebody sent you a link with some invitation. And what do? You check it out. You click like, you click follow. Check it, click it, follow. And that's really good until one day something happens. The person that you're following, they post something that you disagree with. Or they retweet something that maybe Trump said, or maybe they hear something about Biden's 47-year voting record, or they forward an article that expresses their viewpoint on politics, on race, on social justice, or the police, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, or, you know, whatever it is, or, you know, or maybe the thing is not one of these, right? Maybe it's just the person that you're following outside of social media. They've done something that got you really angry. And you got your anger. If you're married, maybe to your husband who's cheating, or somebody, or a friend who started stopping, acting like a friend. Or they just hurt you really badly, and you get mad, and you get angry. And then what happens is that you go on social media, and you do one of three things. The first thing that you'll do is you'll like, man, I'm going to ignore their posts. So anything that comes up in your newsfeed for them, you're like, I'm not going to click on it. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to check it out. And when you ignore it, you actually can see the post, but if you don't open them, you can't really read what they're saying. But the second thing that you do, if you're kind of annoyed enough, you mute them. And mute is not like ignore. You see, mute is more like if you have an iPhone, which is kind of like the only real phone to have. If you have an iPhone, there's like a hide notifications on your phone. And what it is that you simply don't want any notifications. So whenever they're posting anything that they're saying, you don't want to be reminded of anything they have to say. You don't really care whether they have good things to say or not. I just don't want to see that. But sometimes that's not enough, because you're kind of curious. And you all know what I'm talking about. You get curious, like, I wonder what they're doing. Let me go and see. And then you see them, and they look like they're having fun, and you're not having fun. And so you get angry again. And then you're like, you don't want to talk to them. And then so you do number three. If you don't ignore them or you mute them, you go in and you block them. And if you're disillusioned enough, or if you're hurt enough, then you go and you block them. You see, whereas when you mute them, you can still interact with them. When you block them, you're blocking all interactions with them. You can't see them at all on social media. But sometimes you're just so angry enough, and you're so hurt enough, and you're so disillusioned enough, and you're so dejected enough, and you're so discouraged enough, and you can fill in whatever it is that you're just like, I don't want to have anything to do with this person again. And then you take your final step. You click on friend if you're on Facebook, or you click on follow. And we find it like during this time of political turmoil, this time of racial unrest, this time of the pandemic, where some people are saying the pandemic is not even real. It's Bill Gates is trying to get everybody infected with or inoculated with microchips or whatever people come up with. And they're saying all this stuff. And whatever they're saying, that, you know, sometimes you monitor them, and sometimes you be getting so angry. And so how many times have you been tempted to actually click, mute, block, or unfollow? How many of you have had friends, people in your lives who hurt you to some point where you've been tempted to click, or you've actually clicked mute, block, or unfollow? See, I didn't even have to ask you to put anything in the chat or to show a show of hands, or, well, I couldn't see a show of hands anyway. I couldn't ask you to do any of that, because I know for many people you've been there. That you've actually been tempted, or you've actually done it, because I've been there. As a matter of fact, I'm there right now. Sometimes I see some things people are doing or posting, and they get me so angry. I'm like, how come they're just so daft? And if you're honest with yourself, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because this thing really applies to not only social media, it really just applies to life. That if you're hanging out with a person, you consider that person a friend, a confidant, or somebody that you trust, and that person has hurt you, that person has done things that made you angry, that you wonder how could. See, whether it doesn't even have to be social media, because what do? You're like, I'm going to ignore them. I'm going to stay away from them. I don't want to hear anything that they have to say. I'm going to mute them. Man, I'm not even going to be in the same room. I don't want to be anywhere where that person is. You block them. And you know what? They're not my friends anymore. They're not my friend anymore. And you click unfollow. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about an incredible invitation that Jesus gave 2,000 years ago to all the people that he came in contact with. It's an invitation that he's still giving today. It was an invitation Jesus gave to follow. And he walked up to the earliest example of Jesus, you know, in his public ministry. Jesus went up to, you know, a couple of fishermen guys, and he's like, hey, you guys follow me. And then he did some other people, but Jesus exemplified really this invitation, and I'd say in three big ways, right? Three big umbrella ways. The first one was to follow his example. Jesus said, hey, follow my example, and to simply, to do that is to simply see how Jesus treated people and how he handled situation, and you just follow it. The second thing that the invitation that Jesus gave was to follow his teachings. You know, he says, whoever listens to my word and puts it in action is like building their house upon a rock. He's like, follow my teachings. And the teachings that he inspired people to document in the Bible. And then he said, follow my path. My path is really, I want you to know God personally. I want you to find freedom from any strongholds that you have in your life. I want you to discover your purpose, because I created you uniquely for a purpose, and I want you to go out and make a difference. You see, when that's the path that I set out for you. And when you do that, you'll find out that your life will be better. And those three things, the example, his teachings, and his path, we've been going through those over the previous weeks. And what happens with that is that there are levels of commitment. And when you do that, you just find out that things start to become better. The more you follow Jesus, the better your life becomes. The more you commit, the better and better it comes. But how many of you out there know that that is just the headlines? That about, you know, following Jesus is really the headlines, because you see, and I know you know what I'm about to say, that for each one of you listening out there, for each one of us, no matter where you are in your faith journey, whether you are really far away from Jesus and from religion, and you know, you talk about the universe, or maybe you're agnostic, maybe you're none, no matter where you are, or whether you're really close to Jesus and you've been a Jesus follower for many years and you've been through the rough patches, or you're somewhere in between, one thing I do know is that you have seen and experienced some things that would make you say, if you're being honest with yourself, that's not good. That doesn't feel good. It certainly doesn't look good. You say stuff like, how could God really allow bad things to happen to good people? Why did my mom get cancer and die? When I prayed that and I had faith, why did God not let me have kids? And you can insert your situation in there where you thought that following Jesus was just going to make your life so much better. And right there at that moment in that thing, it's like, well, my life is not better. Or maybe you're in a situation that God doesn't seem to matter anymore. You know, there's all these competing priorities. And there's competing things that following Jesus and Jesus' example and his teachings and his path just all of a sudden doesn't seem that convenient. And we all know that it's in these times that you're tempted to ignore the invitation, mute, and block the invitation. And some of you, you may even take the ultimate step of what's going on in your life. And you look at Jesus and you're like, I'm going to click on friend. Or you're going to click on follow. And really what I'm talking about here is really unfollow his example. Jesus Jesus had this forgiveness example that he did, you know, for a woman caught in an act of adultery. We're like, well, I'm not going to follow that. If my husband cheats on me, he is done. Click on follow for his example. Or his teachings about how you should love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't really like my neighbor. Click on follow. Or you know what? This whole Christianity faith thing, this discover purpose, make a difference thing, click, unfollow. And you know, in my experience, we all get to this decision point at some points in our life, at various points in our life. And one of the ways, one of the times decision points we get in our life when we're tempted to ignore, mute, block, or unfollow Jesus is during times of transition. And for many people, you're really at that moment right now where you're in a time of transition, or maybe you're just about to be. You know, maybe you went from elementary school to middle school, you know, the big kids. You know, you don't have to stand and walk in a line or whatever elementary kids do. You're the big kids, you're in middle school. Got middle school stuff happening. Or you go from middle to high school, or high school to college, or college to work. Or maybe you recently relocated to a new city, and all of a sudden there are these new people. You know, you had your old friends and there was a certain way, and it was convenient to follow Jesus' example and his teachings and his path. But now these new friends, they have a completely different lifestyle, and you know what? It seems really, really fun. And you know, you think, man, I want to fit in. But the people that you want to fit in, that Jesus following, is really not big on their list. They're like bad people, but Jesus following. And so, you know, they're doing all this fun stuff, and they're acting a certain way, they're speaking a certain way, they're overusing, you know, alcohol and substances or whatever. And it just seems so good, and then all of a sudden, following Jesus is not on their list, and you find out that it starts to not become on your big list of priorities. And so you start to ignore. Now maybe you're in school and you're exposed to some different thinking. Maybe you're at work and somebody's smart and they give you some different points of view on some stuff and some different points in thinking. And they're challenging your thinking about Jesus. And all of a sudden, if you're not grounded, your Sunday school understanding of Jesus doesn't stand up to grown-up challenges. Maybe it's something simple like, this whole online church thing ain't my thing. So all of a sudden, you don't watch anymore. You don't log on at 11, that's where you start, and then you say, I'll pick it up later, and then you don't. And then after a while, you just don't, I'll pick it up next week. So you start to hit, you start to ignore, or even click mute and say, I don't want to see the notifications coming out from PCC Online. And it's really not that you stop believing, you just kind of stop following like you used to. And that's your point of transition. If something happens and your situation changes, it's not like it was before, maybe at the second decision point in your life. Another decision point in your life is when you're tempted to ignore, mute, block, or unfollow Jesus is really times of temptation. We all know temptation comes in many forms, right? It may come in the form of lying on your application forms to get more stimulus money. Or maybe to get more education assistance, or to pay less taxes, or to get that job, or to interview for the job. Oftentimes, it comes in the form of relationships. We see a girl or a guy that we like, and they're just so fine. It blows your mind. But they're also something. They're so not following Jesus. But we think it's okay. I heard somebody say this, flirt to convert. So we think we can flirt to convert. And we can have a little fun, and then all of a sudden feelings start to get involved, and then before you know it, there's some compromises. You're at a place that you're not supposed to be. He's like, it's late, let me just stay over. Well, there's only one. He's like, whatever it is, you start making up excuses and rationalizations, and then you start to think, you know, well, anyone can become a Christian, but not everyone can become beautiful. And then Jesus following just gets in the way. So you click mute and hide all notifications. Or maybe at the third decision point in your life when you're tempted to ignore, mute, block, or unfollow Jesus is in times of trouble. You're praying and you're praying and you're praying and nothing is working, and you believe and you believe and you believe and nothing seems to be happening, and you obey and you obey and you obey and nothing seems to be working out. And then so the devil or these thoughts start coming into your mind like, well, God isn't faithful to me. So why am I being faithful to him? I'm still unmarried. When I kept myself pure, I didn't go out and do anything, and I was like, I didn't do anything. Or maybe you're like, I'm married, and it's supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be good, and why did God let me get married to this bozo? I didn't get healed. And you're in this time of trouble, and God just doesn't seem to be coming true for you. And then what are you tempted to do? To click. And you're faced with the decision to click, block. Or if you're mad enough at God, sometimes you even click unfollow. And we all face these times, these decision points. Even Jesus' 12 closest followers who were with him 24/7 and saw him and interacted with him. In John, in the book of John in the Bible, in chapter 6, John, who was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, closest followers of Jesus, he considered himself Jesus' best friend. As a matter of fact, he said it, you know, when he wrote, he's like, well, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. So he felt he was Jesus' best friend. And he wrote about a time when he and the other disciples were faced with a decision whether or not to keep following Jesus or not. The story is found in John 6, and to give some background to the story, Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 men or about 8,000 people, and he fed them miraculously with some bread and fish that he got from the lunch of a little boy. And man, when he did that, he instantly got more likes. Man, people were clicking likes all over the place. He was, you know, and they were following him like, you know, and people did what they would do today, man. If they were here today, they'd be clicking. They'd be tweeting about him, and people would be like, man, can you believe this? They'd be retweeting with little video clips, and they'd be atting their friends. And I'm giving you guys all this stuff that you may not know about. At means you at, and you put somebody's name, so this message shows up for them. But what happened was they literally told people, they told everybody everywhere about what they saw. About the experience. And so everybody wanted to see Jesus. So they went searching, because after Jesus finished feeding, he got in a boat and went to the other side of the lake. People were like, whoa, Jesus is not here. And they went searching, and they heard he was in a place called Capernaum. And when they found him, they like, because now they had even more crowds, all the people they told, they wanted to do some more Jesus miracle stuff. And they wanted some, like, man, oh my God, Jesus, create me some free food. Give me some free health care. And a magic show on top of it. But I love Jesus. He was always onto them. And so he said to his, he said this in John 6 and in verse 26. And when all the people gathered around him, and Jesus, do some miracle for me. Tell me about, you know, do that bread thing into, you know, maybe you can turn water into wine. You know, whatever they're saying to Jesus, they want him. And Jesus said to them, guys, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. You don't want to be with me because you understood why I was doing the miraculous sign. It's just because I fed you. But they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they started boosting up Jesus more. Like, go, Jesus, go, Jesus. Go, yeah, you can do this. And, you know, this, yeah, bring that bread thing, you know, like, yeah, I got some bread, you know. Whatever they're telling them, they boost him up. And then Jesus starts telling them about spiritual bread. from heaven. It's like, hey, the spiritual bread from heaven. And they say, man, spiritual bread from heaven? That sounds cool. Give me some spiritual bread from heaven. We want that too. It's like we heard about this in our scriptures, in our old Jewish scriptures, where one time we didn't have any food when we were in the desert, and food showed up every morning. And some manna, looks like some car bread kind of thing, showed up, and every day we could eat it. So yeah, Jesus, do some more of that. But Jesus, he ups the ante and he starts to say some things that just downright seems weird, and some things that just seem so hard to understand. And they couldn't understand what Jesus was saying and what he wanted them to do. And they were faced with a decision point. Here's what he said in verse 51 of John chapter 6. He says, I am, this is Jesus talking, the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. People are like, what? This is like your bread from heaven and eat bread and the bread is your flesh? And Jesus wasn't done. He said in verse 53, he said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and he called himself in the third person, the Son of Man, and drink, like, I tell you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. People have been confused and not really understanding what he's saying. And for verse after verse, Jesus keeps talking all this weird stuff about eating his body, his flesh, which is bread, and drinking his blood thing. And the people are confused. And they're at the point where they literally, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand what Jesus is doing. I don't understand what he's saying in this situation. I don't really understand anything. I mean, all I wanted was him to do what I wanted him to do. I wanted dinner. I wanted a miracle, a magic miracle show. I want to know what's in it for me. Like, you know, I want some health care. I want him to heal me. I don't hear about this. I don't understand what you're doing, Jesus, what you're saying. And all of a sudden, it was no longer convenient. It was no longer easy. And what Jesus was saying in the situation and doing was so difficult to understand. So the people were there when they couldn't get out of Jesus what they wanted out of Jesus. In verse 60, it says, many of his disciples said what we would say if we heard some guy. If I stood up here talking about, you know, you guys need to eat my flesh and drink my, you'd be like, I'm out of here. And that's what they did in verse 60. It says, many of the followers, not the 12, the greater crowd, said, I don't understand. I don't understand what God is saying, what Jesus is saying. And it was like, how can anyone accept what he's saying? Another version says, who wants to listen to him anymore? Another version of that verse. And that's where many of you listening sit today. There's some things that are happening in your life, some things that are happening in your marriage, some things that are happening in your family, some things that are happening in your job, some things that are happening in your finances, some things that are happening in your health. And that is tough. And it's hard to understand. And you don't understand what Jesus, and you're thinking, didn't Pastor Gary tell me for like 5-6 weeks that following Jesus is going to make your life better? I don't understand why it's not better now. My life certainly isn't better now. And then someone may say something to you about God and you say, this is too hard. I don't understand what God's doing, if there's even a God. And then you may be clicking. You may be saying, I'm going to ignore. Or maybe if you're angry enough with Jesus and God for not delivering you, you click mute, block, or maybe even unfollow. And that's what the many of the people who were listening to him did. And in verse 66, it says, at this point, many of the disciples turned away and they deserted him. They were out of there. And I can even just imagine Jesus just watching people. This whole crowd came, and he was just at a buzzkill, man. And one by one, and then two by two, then tens by tens, and twenties by twenties, 50 by 50, people turned and started walking away and leaving. And in verse 67, Jesus turned to the 12, and he says, are you also going to leave? I want to tell you this morning that every time you're faced with a transition or a temptation, or you're in trouble from and you're in trials and you're in tribulation, and you're tempted to do something that you know is not following Jesus' example, is not following Jesus' teachings, or is not following the path, every time you're tempted in those situations to hit, ignore, mute, block, or unfollow, I want you to imagine that Jesus is right there beside you asking, are you really going to leave also? Are you really going to leave over this? After everything that we have gone through, after all the blessings that I've given you, right at this moment, because you don't understand something that I'm doing or something that I'm saying, are you really going to leave? Are you really going to stop following me also? And Peter's response was like the best response ever. Because Jesus looked at the 12, and I can imagine if somebody was in that situation, Jesus was looking at me, my mind would have been racing, going through like 1,000 permutations of if then, but if I answer this, then this, and you can't really lie to Jesus because he always knew what people were thinking, and his mind racing, and he's going through all the permutations that, well, if this, and then this would outcome, and this would outcome, and then he got to the point where he just answered. In verse 68, he said, Lord, to whom would we go? Like, where would we go? Where would we go? To whom would we go? And this is a question that I wish I would ask. And I wish all of us would ask when we face with those decision points of transitions, of temptation, of trouble, where we're tempted to clip, mute, block, or unfollow. It's like, where am I going to go? What is a better option? Who offers a better guarantee? Do I really, really want to go back to the life before I decided to follow? It was that much better? For you who are friends, the question you should ask your friends when they're faced with that decision and they're going to make a stupid move, you ask your friends a question, well, what's the better option? Where would you go? To whom would you go? You know, sometimes I think about it because I think about it for myself too. Like I believe, do I really believe that, and do you really believe that you're going to get to the end of your life and on your deathbed, you're looking back in your life, you're gonna say, man, I'm so glad I decided to stop following Jesus. And think about that for a few seconds. Are you going to compromise your faith and stop following Jesus for that thing? For that girl, that she's so cute. Man, I don't care how she looks. She's not going to look that way 25 years from now. As a matter of fact, if you want to imagine her 25 years from now, probably 25 more pounds. Are you going to give up Jesus for that? You know that guy with that big old six-pack and that hulking, bulging muscles? Imagine him 25 years. He's going to have one pack, one very big pack. Come on, man. You know, the lies you told on that employment application, the test you cheated on, is that the example you want to set for your kids and grandkids and future kids? And say, you know what? I didn't really get my degree, man. I finessed. By the way, you should finesse too and get your degree. Is that better than the promise that you have in Jesus? So, Lord, where would we go? To whom would we go? And I believe that if you'd ask yourself that question every time you're going to make a decision that is contrary to Jesus' example, his teachings, his path, if you'd ask yourself the question, to whom shall I go? Where am I going to go with that's better? If you'd ask yourself that question, you would save yourself so much pain, so much guilt, so much regret. It's in these times, when we have transition, temptation, and trouble, when when we're kind of finding ourselves asking the question, like, where is God? Where is God in all of this? Why would God allow this? Why didn't God come true for me? How come no one is suffering any consequence? How come me? I'm the one who's suffering consequences. Why is God rewarding bad behavior? I implore you when you get to that point not to step away from God because you don't have the answers to those questions. Don't step away from God because you don't have the answers. Not because you don't have the answer doesn't mean there isn't an answer. All it means is simply that you don't have the answer yet. So ask yourself the question, where am I going to go? And that's what Peter did. And then Peter answered his own question. He answered his question himself. He said in verse 68, Jesus, you have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. And Peter was like, I thought about this. I went through all the if then, all the permutations. And there is no better option. There are no other good options. Because Jesus has the keys to life and life more abundantly. Jesus has the keys to eternal life. You know, as we close out the series, that's the invitation that Jesus has given to you today. It's an invitation to believe what Peter believed. It's an invitation to experience what Peter experienced. It's an invitation to get life after death, because each one of us is going to die. And it's an invitation to live out a life of freedom, to live out a life of purpose, and to live out a life of impact. And that invitation, I am verbalizing it as Jesus has laid it on my heart to give it to you. And I'm going to pray, and if you want to accept the invitation, you say this prayer. This prayer, say after me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am tired of trying to go my own path. I want to follow your example. I want to follow your teachings. And most importantly, I want to know God personally. And Lord, I pray that you'll just forgive me of all the things, all my past, all the part when I've been disobedient. And come and take control of my life. And I will commit to serving you and following you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if he did that, welcome to the family. You know, when Peter said this, like to whom, you know, like, God, you have the keys to eternal life. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be. He didn't know what was going to happen. But the only thing he knew was, who had the keys? He knew that God knew the outcome. And so as this series is over and this mess is over, I just want to encourage you that when it seems like God has abandoned you, remember, sometimes things are not what they seem. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. Because he actually said the opposite. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, whenever it looks like it's not going to work out for you, remember, it doesn't mean that it's not going to work out for you. It just hasn't worked out for you yet. But he promised that all things work together for good. And so Psalms 23, it talks about the Lord is your shepherd. And, you know, when you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you know, God says, I will be with you. I want you to remember that the Lord is your shepherd. And there's a song that, you know, I'm going to ask the worship team to sing. It says, he's your defender. He's your comfort through mountains and valleys. And in time, you're going to see a victory, but not just any victory. But you are going to see your victory. God bless you. See you next week.